Today's daf, we certainly have to learn Torah today. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Mem Dalid. We are holding on the bottom of daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amid Beis. There is a discussion in the Mishnah about when you have, about a person being Shaleach Yad B'Pikadon, when exactly if a person only has a Machshava to be Shaleach Yad, is that enough to be considered Shaleach Yad? Do you actually have to do a Maisa of Shlichus Yad, or is even a Machshava of Shlichus Yad considered enough, that a person plans on taking it for himself? The Gemara is going to discuss what the basis of each of those Shitos are. The Mishnah is also going to talk about how much you're responsible for if you were Shaleach Yad, let's say, on a revius of an entire barrel. You just tilt the barrel a little bit, pour a revius off of the top, and then an ones happens to the rest of the barrel. Are you chayiv for the whole barrel, or do we say, no, you only took a revius, you were never Shaleach Yad on the rest of the barrel? Then we're going to start a Mirtz Hashem Perek HaZahav today, and Perek HaZahav is going to be about, certainly the first daf, is going to be about defining whenever there's an exchange, something is currency and something is metaltalin. Whenever you buy something, so you use money to buy a thing. So the halacha is, giving the money does not create the kinyan. But doing a kinyan on the thing, on the item that you're buying, that creates the kinyan and it generates a chiyuv for payment. So sometimes it's obvious what's the money and what's the thing that you're buying. You go to the store, you give a few dollars for your groceries, the groceries are the things that you're buying, the money is the payment, it's the money. But what happens if a person barters different types of currency for each other? You barter kesef for zahav, kesef for nechoshes. What do we define as the money and what do we define as the thing? That's what the Mishnah is going to be about, and it's very critical to come up with that definition so we can know where the kinyan is made. When do you be, what generates the chiyuv on the other side to pay? The Gemara is going to have two versions of what's considered the money in a barter for gold and silver. Rebbe said one thing when he was younger, another thing when he was older, and the Gemara is going to try to bring several proofs that what Rebbe said when he was that gold is considered the actual currency in relation to silver. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to have two different understandings of machlokas beisham beisilel. If you're allowed to be mechalel silver of meiser sheni on gold, let's say you have meiser sheni money that's silver, can you exchange that for gold because it will be easier to schlep to Yerushalayim since gold is more valuable than silver? It won't be as much of a schlep to schlep that amount of gold to Yerushalayim. So let's begin at the Mishnah Mem Gimel Beis. Says the Mishnah, Hachoshev l'shloach yad b'pikadon. If a person has a machshava to be shaleach yad b'pikadon, he didn't actually shaleach yad, he just has a machshava to be shaleach yad b'pikadon. B'shami yom chayiv, B'shami says, that's already a shlichus yad. Any onus happens to the Bikadon, he is fully responsible. Beisil says, no, you're only going to be chayiv if you're actually shaleach yad. Shenemar, im lo shilach yado b'melachas re'ehu. That it has to be an actual shlichus yad b'melachas re'ehu. If you look at Rashi, a choshiv l'shloach yad, says Rashi, omar b'fnei edim, etol pikdonos oploni la'atzmi. Choshev over here doesn't mean machshava, says Rashi. Choshev means a statement in front of edim. It has to be verbalized. It has to be stated that I plan on being shaleach yad. If you look at Tosfos, hach machshava have dibur kidiyalev me'al kol davar v'chein machshavas pigul nami have b'dibur v'lo b'lev. Tosfos says this is not the only place in Shas. We find sometimes that when we use the term machshava, we don't really mean machshava, we mean a dibur, that something has to actually be said. Why does it say hachoshev if it really means dibur? So the Ramban says that any time a person plans on doing something and he doesn't do it, it's called choshev. So if it hasn't actually been brought out into action, anything short of action can properly be labeled choshev, even if actually you said something. There was an actual dibur. The Ritva writes, that since, yes, dibur is necessary, but you don't have to say it in front of Edim. The dibur could happen beinu levein atzmo, so that's why we call it choshev, because as far as anyone knows, it's the same as your machshava. It's completely between you and yourself, and no one else is going to know about it. But that is against Rashi. Rashi says that it has to be omer bifnei Edim, that it's not enough to even just do dibur. The dibur has to be actually in front of Edim, because the machshava has to be something that's known to other people. So that's how Rashi understands. If you look at Rashi Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Mem Aleph and Beis, the beginning of the second part of Kiddushin, where we talk a lot about Shlichus Yad B'Pikadon, because Shlichus Yad B'Pikadon is one of the exceptions to the rule of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. Typically speaking, if I go and I ask you to do an Avera for me and you do it, it's not me that's Chayiv. You are not considered my Shliach, acting as my proxy. You're acting on your own. You should have listened to HaKadosh Baruch. You don't listen to me. But every once in a while, we say that my shliach's action, even for a dvar avera, is going to connect back to me. So shlichus yad b'pikadon is one such example where we say yesh shliach l'dvar avera. So at the beginning of the second part of kedushin, we talk about dinim of shlichus. He ish mekadesh bo ubishlucho. He ish miskadeshes bo ubishlucho. So we talk about the notion of shlichus. Shlichus yad b'pikadon comes up over there. So Rashi over there, Memalva and Beis, writes that even with machshava you're chayiv, meaning against what he says over here, that it doesn't require dibur, machshava alone you're chayiv. The Rush in Menachos and Sefer Torah also says even machshava. So the Ramban points out that according to that shita, you have to say that even though the pasuk says I'll call dvar pesha, and we derive this din that machshava is enough based on the word dvar pesha, and dvar sounds like it's got to be dibur, you have to assume, yeah, the Torah says dvar, but dibur and machshav are the same. Halachically, they have the same exact status. That's how you have to assume these rishonim, that these rishonim understand. So this is the machlokas. Says the Mishnah further, the second half of the Mishnah, hitas achavis v'natal emena revias. Let's say you tilt the barrel, and you just pour a revias of yayin off the top of the barrel, but you didn't lift up the entire barrel. You certainly didn't pour out the entire barrel. Is that considered a shlichus yad on the entire barrel or just on that revias? V'nishbra, the barrel then breaks. Ba'ones, let's say. So are you chayiv for the entire barrel? Eino mishalim ele revias. No, you never made a kinyan on the whole barrel. All you did was shalach yad on that one revias. You only tilted it. You never actually made a kinyan. But hikbiya v'natale men revias v'nishbra mishalim demekula. If you actually lift up the barrel and you take and you pour a revias out, and then the rest of the barrel breaks, then you're chayiv for the entire barrel, because by lifting it up, you're doing an actual kinyan. Asks the Maharit in a tshuva chelik beis choshe mishpat simin peches, and the Ktzos asks the same kasha in simin kuf peites and in simin shin mem ches. What do we say over here? One requires a kinyan in order for it to be shlichus yad bipikadon. So the Mishnah assumes, how does one make a kinyan? Only by hagbah. Is that really true though? Where is this pikadon at the time that the shomer sholeach yad, at the time that the shomer, let's say, tilts it and pours a revias off the top and plans in his head that he wants to be sholeach yad in the whole thing? Where is the pikadon? It's in the rishus of the shomer. If it's in the rishus of the shomer, don't we have a notion of chaser shaladim konalo, that it's one of the forms of kinyan is a chaser shaladim konalo, that your chaser could be konal for you? So every ganav is chayiv if he brings the ganeva into his own chaser, even if he didn't do a meshicha or a hagba'a, because that's considered a valid form of kinyan. So why don't we say the same thing by shlichus yad, that the it should be chal as soon as he's choshev to steal the pikadon, and the pikadon is in his chatzer, so his chatzer should automatically be kona. Says the Ktzos in Simon Kuf Peites that chatzer that is guarded is kona lemafkid, but he says that the chatzer of the shomer rather is kona lemafkid. The chatzer of the shomer is when I have your item in my chatzer, it's as if I am giving you a kinyan in my chatzer to keep your stuff. So it's no longer considered mine, the shomer's chatzer, with regard to kinyanim. Wherever that item is, it's considered the mafkid's chatzer on that spot. So it's not going to be able to be kona for shlichus yad. That idea that the chatzer of the shomer is considered to belong to the mafkid is not unique to the to the Ktsos. The Taz writes this in Simkov Peites as well, and the Taz uses that to explain the comment of the Tur, that if the Mafkid wants to be Makna to the Shomer, the Pikadon, the Shomer has to do a Maisa Kinyan. I mean, if the Mafkid wants the Shomer to be Kona the Pikadon, it's not enough that the Pikadon is in the Chatzer of the Shomer. Not enough. Why? Because it's not really considered his Chatzer. It's considered the Mafkid's Chatzer when I let you keep your item there. And the Taz says that's the explanation of the Shita of the Tur. Machna Ephraim has a different suggestion. Machna Ephraim says, no, this entire din of Shlichus Yad is a Chiddush. Meaning, after all, we pointed out, generally, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, and yet over here we do say Yei Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Generally speaking, just because when I'm a Shomer, I'm not Chayiv in Onsim, and now what? Just because I used it, so now I'm Chayiv in Onsim? The whole din of Shlichus Yad is a Chiddush. So, Ein L'Chabo El Chidusho. The Torah's Mechadish that when you are Shaleach Yad, you become Chayiv. Over here, you were not Shaleach Yad. So if it's just in your chatzer, that's not called Shaleach Yad. Doing a Hagbah, physically lifting it, that's Shaleach Yad. So that's the reason suggested Machne Ephraim that Kinyan Chatzer does not work over here. There's also a discussion in Rishonim whether the second half of the Mishnah is connected to the first half of the Mishnah. Second half of the Mishnah of tilting the chavis, pouring revius off the top. Rashi writes it's totally independent. There's no shaychus to the machlokas b'sham b'silel about about whether machshava is enough to violate shlichus yad. However, the Rambam Pirush Mishnayis has a word that bridges the first half and the second half, and that word is Ketzad, meaning right after quoting Beis Hillel that Machshav is not enough, you need to do a Maisa. So the Mishnah says Ketzad, and what would be such a Maisa? And it discusses tilting is not such a Maisa, but Hagbah is such a Maisa. So very clearly, according to the Rambam, the whole second half of the Mishnah is only Lefi Shitas Beis Hillel. So the Achronim explained Machlokas Rashim Rambam is really a Machlokas in what the logic of Beis Shammai is. Why does Beis Shammai hold that Machshava alone is enough? Do they hold that Machshava alone is enough because when a person is Choshev to do a Shlichus Yad, that it's considered as if he already did? So Lishitasam, the Machshava that you think that has to be a machshava of doing whatever the definitional shlichus yad is. So yeah, machshava is enough. But the second half of the Mishnah is explaining machshava to do what? Machshava to tilt it? No, that's not enough. But machshava to be magbia. Then that's Rashi. The second half of the Mishnah could even be going according to Beis Shammai. Or do you say that no? When Beis Shammai says that machshava is enough, you don't have to think specifically how you're going to be shaleach yad. You just have to think that you want it to be yours. And Beis Shammai thinks that's already shaleach yad. Just the fact that you think I want this to be mine, I no longer want it to belong to the owner who is mafkided by me, that's enough. So if that's the case, then the whole discussion, this kind of ma'isa, that kind of ma'isa, that can only be according to Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai doesn't require any ma'isa. Beis Shammai only requires a machshava. So that's the understanding of the machlokas Rashi and the Rambam, whether the first half of the Mishnah and the second half of the Mishnah are connected. Says the Gemara, minahani mili. How do I know the first part of the Mishnah that a machshava according to Beis Shammai is good enough to be considered a shlichus yad? The Tanur Rabbanan Brisa tells us as follows: Al kol dvar pesha, Beis Shammai Ramlamit shechayev al machshava kamaisa. From the word al kol dvar pesha, we see that a dibur is enough, and a dibur has the same status as a machshava. Beis Hillel says no, you're only chayev when you actually physically do something. You're shaleach yad. Shenamar lo shilach yado b'malachas re'ehu. Amr lehen Beis Shammai leBeis Hillel. So Beis Shammai says to the Beis Hillel, v'alo kvar nemar, I'll call dvar pesha. Yeah, but what are you going to do with the word dvar? It says I'll call dvar pesha. Amr lehen Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, v'alo kvar nemar, lo shilach yada b'malachas re'ehu. So Beis Hillel says right back to Beis Shammai, yeah, it's true, but it also says shilach yada, which implies, you know, more than implies that it's got to be yada, that it's got to, they have to do it with biyad. So imke matam lomar called Dvar Pesha. So Beis Hillel, but what are you going to do with Al Kol Dvar Pesha? Sheyachal, because you might have thought in the Elohu that Shlichus Yad is only an issue if the Shomer himself is Shaleach Yad. But Amar Lavdil Shluchu Minayin, how do I know, as we keep alluding to, that he can even send a Shaliach to be Shaleach Yad, and that's considered Shlichus Yad Bibikadon? Tavalomar Akol Dvar Pesha. That's what Dvar Pesha is teaching, that sometimes the Shomer is Chayiv just on Dibur alone. Not that it doesn't require a Maisa, but it doesn't require the Shomer to do the Maisa. The Shomer can say to a Shliach, and all the Shomer is doing is saying, he says to a Shliach to do the Maisa, and then the Shliach does the Maisa. That Maisa relates back to the Shomer. As I mentioned before, this is a Sugya Mesechas Kiddushin about Shliach Lidvar Avera and Shlichus Yad. The Gemara over there says that in Kol HaTorah Kula Ein Shliach Lidvar Avera, except for by Mi'ila and by Shlichus Yad, to be Moel Behagdish, if you send a Shliach to be Moel Behagdish, that relates back to you as well. And Mi'ila, we learn it from a Gezerah Shava, Chet Chet Mitruma. We know that Shlichus works to be Mafresh Truma, so we learn Chet Chet, Truma is a mitzvah, it's an Avera, but Gezerah Shava, Chet Chet Mitruma, we learn that that Shlichus works for Mi'ila as well, even though Mi'ila is an Avera. So there's Mi'ila by there's Shlichus by Mi'ila, and by Shlichus Yad it says Al Kol Dvar Pesha, like our Gemara says over here. So we learn from Al Kol Dvar Pesha that there's Shlichus by Shlichus Yad as well. So why don't we learn from these two places to Kol HaTorah Kula that you should always say Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, meaning if it works for Shlichus Yad, if it works for Mi'ila, why don't we say Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera Kol HaTorah Kula? The Gemara says Shnei Ksuvin Abayim Ke'echad. The rule is that if we're Mechadish something in one place in the Torah, then we say it's a Memetzinu, it's a Binyanav, we learn to Kol HaTorah Kula. But whenever the Torah is Mechadish something in two different places, we work with the assumption that the Torah is not giving us the rule, the Torah is giving us the exceptions to the rule. And everything else, we would say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. So the Gemara says, great, that's good according to Beis Hillel. But according to Beis Shammai, who doesn't have this din of Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera by Shlichus Yad, right? Because our Gemara was saying, yeah, Beis Hillel learns from the word Dvar that Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera by Shlichus Yad. Beis Shammai already used Dvar to tell me that all you need to do is have a Machshava and you already violated Shlichus Yad. So according to Beis Shammai, why don't we learn from Mi'ila to Kol HaTorah Kula? The Torah only tells me Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera in one place, in Mi'ila. So we should say that's a Memetzinu, it's a Binyanav to Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Gemara says, no, because by a chiyuv of dalid vehei, when a person is gone of a tavach umachar, we also have psukim that teach us yesh liach tadvar avera. So dalid vehei and mi'ila are your shnei ksuvin abayin ke'echad. Even according to Beis Shammai, you can end up with shnei ksuvin abayin ke'echad because you have dalid vehei and mi'ila. Marit raises the following kasha. The Rambam in the 7th parak of Hilchos Mi'ila Halacha Beis writes that lo matzinu bekol haTorah sheyesh liach tadvar avera chutz mi'ila. That we never find in Kol HaTorah Kula that there's Shlichus L'Dvar Avera with the lone exception of Mi'ila. So Marit says, what are you talking about? It's Beferish in the Gemara. Shlichus Yad, Dalet Vehei, right? Shlichus Yad, if you hold like Beis Hillel, Dalet Vehei, if you hold like Beis Shammai. So how can you say that it's only Mi'ila? So the Marit suggests that the Shlichus Yad, we're not Mechayiv that there's a Chiv Midin, we're not Mechadish that there's a Chiv Midin Shlichus. We're Mechadish that since you're the Shomer, you're Chayiv on negligence in speech as well. By telling people they can go and take it for themselves, that itself is a pshia. The chiddush of Shlichus Yad is not that it's a din of Shlichus. The chiddush of Shlichus Yad is that you were posheya. We normally view posheya as posheya in terms of action or inaction. Over here, posheya is bedibur. And that's the way the Rambam understands the chiyuv of Shlichus Yad bedibur, as opposed to a shliach l'dvar avera kind of chiyuv. Okay, says Gemara, hitas achavis, if a person tilted the barrel. So we had said that if he tilted the barrel and just took a revius, he's not considered shaleach yad in the entire barrel. But if he lifted the barrel, he's shaleach yad in the entire barrel. So on the first half of that sentence, Amar Rabba lo shanu ela nishbara. We only say he's not chayv on the entire barrel when all he did was tilted, if the barrel subsequently breaks. But if the wine in the barrel spoils, then he's going to have to pay for the entire barrel since he tilted it and had poured some wine out of it. My taima, why in the world would he have to pay for the entire barrel just because it spoiled rather than broke? So Gemara explains, kizgiri didehu da'ahanula. We consider him to have been mazik all the wine. That's what caused it to spoil. Wine does better when the barrels are full. If you poured some of the wine out of the barrel, it's going to spoil more quickly, and therefore it's considered that he he was mazik the pikadon that someone had given him by taking some wine out of the barrel. Then the Mishnah said, but if he lifted the entire barrel, even though he only poured some out, but he lifted the entire barrel, now he bears responsibility for the whole thing. Now it's considered that he was shaloich yad on the entire barrel, and he's going to have to pay for the whole thing. Amar Shmuel lo natal natal mamish. When we say that natal doesn't mean that he even has to have poured anything out at all. Once he's magbia the barrel, he doesn't actually have to have taken anything out of the barrel in order for it to be considered shlichus yad. El kivin shegbia litol afal pi shalo natal. As long as he lifted the barrel with the plan of taking, even though he didn't actually take anything, that's enough to be considered shlichus yad, where he's now going to be chayiv for the entire thing. So lema kasavar Shmuel shlichus yad ein shlich chisaron. So Shmuel seems to be making a pretty definitive statement over there that in order to be chayiv for shlichus yad, you don't have to actually cause a chisaron in the item, because if you lift the barrel and put it right back down on the floor, you didn't cause any chisaron, you didn't take anything out, and Shmuel still says it's considered shlichus yad bepikadon. So Gemara says, Amri lo, shayni hacha denichle detavi hachavas kula basas laharavias. No, it is considered that there's a chisaron. When you lifted the barrel, your plan was to take for yourself a revias. Problem is, you weren't ready to drink it yet. So you weren't going to pour it out until you're ready to drink it, because it's much easier to protect the revias of yayin when it's together with the rest of the barrel. So we don't view this as, oh, you thought about taking something, then you put it back, and the whole barrel is back to where it was. No, you did take. You took a revias. You're storing that revias together with the wine in the rest of the barrel that you're putting back. That's the way that we view it. So it's as if you already were choser, you already were shaleach yad on the barrel in a way that you were mechaser it. By Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi says, okay, so maybe that's just for wine, because the best way to watch wine and to protect wine is by keeping it with the rest of the barrel of wine. But what if it was something that doesn't spoil in that way, something that doesn't really need a higher volume of it in order for it to retain its freshness and its value? So by Rav Ashi, be arniki litol emena dinar mahu. What if you pick up a giant pouch of money and your plan was to take a dinar, but you didn't take the dinar out. You thought of taking the dinar out and you picked up the whole pouch and you put the whole pouch down. Do we say chamru hu delo mintar ela agav chamra aval zuza mintar adum ashayni nitzrus adarnikim nitzrus adinar? Do we say, well, look, wine we can say it's as if you took the revias and now you're just storing it with everything else, but the money is not going to turn sour, it's not going to turn bad, there's no reason it needs to be with the rest of the money? Or do we say, no, in terms of being shomer, in terms of protecting something, it's much easier to be shomer in an entire bag full of money than it is to keep track of where a single coin is, or where a single dinar is. So maybe it is considered that that's part of the shmira, that by keeping a larger bag, it's like people ask sometimes, it's an interesting shaila in Hilchus Shabbos and Hilchus Muktzah. Let's say on your keychain, you have a key to your house, and you have a key to your car, and so you have the key to your car is 100% is certainly Muktzah. But do you view the whole keychain as okay, because the key to your car is becoming like, it just makes it easier to watch over a keychain than to keep track of a single little key. The single little key will very easily get lost, but your whole keychain won't as easily get lost. So you're not viewing the key to your car as a way to access your car, you're viewing the key to your car as a way to hang on to the key to your house. So that's the Shaila in Hilchus Shabbos, and that's really what the Gemara is saying over here, that you have one small coin is very hard to keep track of, but if you have, obviously if your car has a clicker on it, that's a chance, a game changer, because then it's, okay, but we're talking the old fashioned, even my car already has a clicker, so, but we're talking the old fashioned, is all it is a key. So the Gemara says, it's so much easier to keep track of a wallet full of money rather than a coin. So the Gemara says, teku, we're not sure about that issue, whether this is dafka din in yayin or it's a din in money as well. Hadron alachamafkid, now we begin perek hazahav. So again, the fundamental rule that we have to keep in mind when we learn perek hazahav, and certainly when we learn today's daf, is that in order to affect a transaction, a kinyan has to be done on the item that's being purchased. Ma'os is einon konos. If all you do is affect the transaction on the money and there was no kinyan done on the item is not considered to have been purchased yet. It's only when a kinyan was done on the item that you are purchasing. So if I go to a store and I hand them the money, but I have not yet picked up the item itself, no kinyan is made, they can back out of the deal, I can back out of the deal, no problem. But once I made a kinyan on the item, even if I haven't yet given the money, no one's allowed to back out anymore. The transaction is done when a kinyan is made on the item. The question is going to be, how do we define what's the item and what's the money, what's the currency? So certain times it's easy. You pay dollars and you get your groceries. So the dollars are the money, the groceries are the item. That's easy. What if I'm exchanging, I'm bartering gold for silver? So what's the item? I'm changing dollars for shekels. What's the item and what's the money? So that's the subject of our Mishnah. And also, what if it's items for items? I'm actually bartering things for each other instead of paying with money. I'm paying with something that I have to trade, to make a trade with somebody. So says the Mishnah, Hazav kones hakesef, hakesef ina kones hazav. Gold is kones silver, meaning someone who takes gold coins to exchange it for dinari zahav, so the meshicha of the gold makes the kinyan, which means that gold is not considered the money, it's considered the item. That's why the kinyan on the gold works to be mechayev the person to pay the kesef. But the kinyan on the kesef is not going to be mechayev the person to pay the gold, because the kesef is considered the money. Hanechoshes kones hakesef. Similarly, the copper is considered the thing. Okay, when you do a kinyan on copper, you're kona the kesef. The kesef's automatic. But a kesef eno kones hanechoshes. Kesef is not kona nechoshes. Mo'os haro'os konos haseyafos. Bad money is kona good money. But hayafos in konos haseyafos. Good money is not kona bad money, meaning good money is considered the money, it's not considered the thing. Asimon kones hamatbeya. If you're exchanging an asimon for a coin, so an asimon is considered the thing, the matbeya, the currency, is considered the money. V'amatbeya inu kones asimon. What exactly is an asimon? So they used to have in Israel when I was younger that by the payphones you had these asimonim, that you would these little coins that didn't have any tsura on it. So they called it an asimon because Shitas Rashi is that an asimon is these round coins that don't have any tsura on it. They don't have any image on it, they're just these flat coins that are that have the value of the metal weight. Now in Israel in those days it had the value of something you could make a phone call with, but it was just something that's a metal coin. Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that an asimon does have a tzura, but it's not a tzura chashuva. It's not a recognized coin. If you were to make currency with your own image on it, stam, you know, that's not recognized legal tender, so that would be an asimon, even though it does have an image on it. The Ramban understands that no, an asimon is money that used to be real money, but the tzura is in some way rubbed out or cracked or ruined in some way. So now it lost much of its value as currency, and it's now valuable only insofar as that it's made out of metal. So the value of the metal is its value, but it's not that it has no tzura on it whatsoever. Now Rashi explains when we say kesef eino kones hazav that kesef is considered the coin as opposed to the zav, which is considered the thing that you're buying, the metaltalim, and metaltalim is not nikna with kesef alone. And Rashi says that when we have machlokas amorayim later on, whether this din that emetaltim nikum kesef only be mshicha is a din midaraisa or is only a din mitakanas chachamim. The idea that kesef doesn't work to make a kinyan, that our Mishnah is assuming, that's the whole basis of our Mishnah, is that a din daraisa or is that only a takana midrabanan? So the Achronim raised the question, Rabbi Yochanan holds min haTorah metaltim is nikum kesef. Why is it that the Chacham made a takana that kesef should not work? Is a gzeira shema yomer lo nisrufu chitach ba'aliyah. We're afraid that if kesef were to be allowed to work as a kinyan, what's going to happen? I have a whole warehouse full of grain, let's say, and I'm selling it to you for $10,000. So you give me the $10,000. You have not yet taken possession of the warehouse, and I notice by the warehouse that there's a small fire that just started. So it's not mine anymore. Kesef was already so why should I protect why should I trouble myself to put out the fire? You already paid me, so I'm good. The kinyan has already been made. So because of that gezeira that he's not going to be careful about guarding the item that he has just sold, so the chum made a takana. Kesef doesn't affect the transaction. It's not over yet when someone has paid you kesef. So the achronim raised the question. And that chshash doesn't apply by a coin, because kesef doesn't have, the only way to be shomer kesef anyway is bekarka. So l'chora, the mocher who has the gold coins that sold them to the lokeach through kinyan kesef becomes a shomer on them, and he is chayv to hide them in the ground. So there is no chashash lake anymore. So why wouldn't the kinyan kesef work on matbeya? That's what the Acharon's kash is, that this whole concern l'chora doesn't apply to coins. It doesn't apply to money that's being traded for each other. So the way the Acharonim deal with it is they say it's a low plug, that they just made a din that kesef is not enough to make a kinyan, regardless whether it's wheat or whether it's money that you're buying. That's just a low plug that kesef is not enough to make a kinyan. Okay, says the Mishnah further, metaltlin konas matbeya, matbeya konas metaltlin. And that's really the fundamental rule, that metaltlin is konas matbeya. You do a kinyan on the metaltalin, a kinyan has been made. But you do a kinyan on the money, then the metaltalin has not been purchased. Call a metaltalin konin ze'ezeh. But if you're exchanging things for things, then the kinyan does work on either one of the items. Ketzad, mashach imen peres lonas lamos, en yoch laksubo. If I already took the peros, I go to the fruit store, and I take the peros, but I didn't yet pay the money, the deal is done already. I'm chayiv to pay the money, and no one could back out. If I already paid the money, but I didn't take the payros yet, then we could still back out. But Chazal said that the same Ribbono Shlolem who punished the Anshei Dor HaMabul and the Anshei Dor HaFlaga, and there's a Daf Yomi coincidence a few days after Parshas Noach, that the same Ribbono Shlolem punished the people who sinned in those generations is going to punish the one who does not Omed B'Diburo, who doesn't keep his word and keep to the transactions that he had said he was going to make. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Shekasa B'Yada Yada Yona. Rabbi Shimon says whoever has the money has the upper hand. He's allowed to back out. The guy who doesn't have the money is not able to back out. The Bryce in the Gemara doesn't just identify the Anshei Dor HaMabul, Anshei Dor HaFlaga. It actually adds and the Anshei Sodom Vamora and Mitzrayim Biyam. So it's a discussion Rishonim. Is there something about the Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga Dafka, or are we just saying in general the Ribbono Shel Olam punishes bad people in whatever generation those bad people might live? So okay, you got to look around the Rishonim to see why Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga Dafka versus the Bryce, which identifies all sorts of bad people. Masni le Rebbe the Rebbe Shimon Berei. Rebbe taught Rebbe Shimon his son the following: Hazahav Kones HaKesef. Like we say in our Mishnah, that's the way Rebbe taught the Mishnah to Rebbe Shimon his son. Amrlei Rebbe Shanisa Lanabi Aldusecha. Rebbe Shimon said to his father, he said, Rebbe, you taught us when you were younger, HaKesef Kones HaZahav, that it works the other way around, that Kesef is Kona the Zahav, meaning that you don't view the Zahav as the Metaltalin and the Kesef as the currency. You view the Kesef as the Metaltalin and the Zahav as the currency. And now you're changing your mind and you're flipping it around. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a discussion. The Rama writes in Dark Emotion, Yarden, and some Reish Mem Beis, when a person's father is both his father and his Rebbe, what's the appropriate way to refer to him? Do you refer to him as Abba, or do you refer to him as Rebbe? Because look, Rebbe taught this to Rebbe Shimon his son. So what does Rebbe Shimon say? Rebbe! Why is he calling him Rebbe? It should be Dad. Abba, right? Why is he referring to him as Rebbe? Rama writes in Darkei Moshe that if someone has a father who's also his Rebbe, he should call him Rebbe and not Abba Mori. And his raya is from our Gemara. This Gemara is Medayik. They should call him the Rama Paskins this Lalacha in Shulchan Aruch. But if he's a Rabbo Sheino Mufak, then you should still call him Abba. The Shach says, you know, that's clearly not the minhag. Everyone who's the son of any rabbi, even if the father was his Rebbe, they always call him father, daddy, Abba, they don't, Tati, whatever. They don't call him Rebbe. So the Shach wonders why that should be the case. So he says it could be that even though you're chayv and kavod rabbo yoser mishalaviv, and that's the logic of the Ramah, that what's the greater kavod? The greater kavod is to be the Rebbe, because one is chayv to honor the Rebbe greater, more so than their father. But still, since he's been calling him his father since he's born, and he hasn't been calling him Rebbe since he's born, he only became Rebbe later on, you go with the name that he always had. I always thought it's because there's more exclusivity. in being the son. Meaning, my Rebbe has thousands of talmidim, but he only has a few sons. So I would think that it's a greater honor to be able to call him Abba, because it's a greater honor for the kid. The kid's more proud to be able to call him Abba because fewer people are able to call him that as opposed to calling him Rebbe. But I didn't see that svara in Poskim anywhere, because I guess it doesn't really matter what's a greater honor for the kid. You have to call the father what's a greater honor for the father, and if Rebbe is a greater honor for the father, that's what you have to call him. Oh, we're running out of time over here. So Bialduse my suffer, Bizuknus my suffer. What did Rebbe hold when he was younger, and why did he change his mind when he was older? Bialduse suffer Dava Duchashav Avitiva. Originally he held that since gold is more valuable, that's the currency. But silver is less valuable, therefore that's considered the metaltlin. The kanile pira litiva, and that's the way it always works. That currency, that the metaltlin is what's kona, the currency. But then when he got older, he held the kaspa de charif havetiva, that since silver is more commonly used as currency, that's what's defined as the currency. But gold is not used as much as currency, and therefore that's considered the metaltlin. The kanile pira litiva. Amra vashi ki. Makes more sense what Rebbe held when he was younger. Because the Mishnah goes on to say, that nechoshes is kona kesef, meaning that copper is considered the thing, kesef is considered the money. If you say that kesef is considered the peros and gold is considered the currency, so that's why I need the Mishnah to go on to teach me that nechoshes is kona the kesef. The apple beat the legabi dahava pirahavia. That even though silver in relation to gold is considered the metaltlins, considered the peros, but in relation to copper, it's considered the currency, and copper is considered the peros. But if you say that silver with relation to gold is considered the currency, so shouldn't it be obvious that silver in relation to copper is considered the currency? Because after all, even though gold is more valuable than silver, we still say silver is the currency. Why? Because it's more commonly used. So the gabi nechoshes diu chashiv viu charif mibayi. When you compare silver to copper, silver is more commonly used and it's more chashiv. You have both svaros working in favor of silver being the currency with regard to copper. So once you tell me that silver is considered the currency even with regard to gold, of course it's going to be considered the currency with regard to copper. So it says no itzrich. I might have thought that since in certain places copper might be more usable, it might be more of a over la socher, more of a commonly used currency than silver is. So I might think that the silver is therefore considered the metaltlin and the copper is considered the currency. Since there are places where people don't accept copper coins and silver is the only thing you could use as a currency, that's why I know the copper is considered the peros, the copper is not considered the currency. Even Rabbi Chiya holds that the gold is considered the currency and the silver is considered the metaltalin in relation to gold. How do I know that? The Ravos of Dinari Mibarti Rabbi Chiya. Rav borrowed money from Rabbi Chiya's daughter. Lusofa Yakra Dinari. He borrowed gold coins. And then ultimately the value of gold went up. So the halacha is, if I borrow a dollar from you, I could return a dollar to you the next day or the next week or the next month, and we don't have to worry about the relative value of the dollar in relation to the dollar today, from what I understand, is worth a lot less right now than it was worth 24 hours ago, right? So I don't have to think about that change in value, and is it a ribbis problem? Because everything is defined based on currency. Currency is the set. We view that as a set value, even though we know in reality it fluctuates in world markets. But we view it as the set currency. So what about gold? I borrowed gold coins, and now the value of gold coins changed. Is it currency, or is it a thing that has changed value, where you have a problem of ribbis? If you borrow sub is sub. If you borrow a pound of flour and you give back a pound of flour, that could be a ribbis problem if the price has changed. So Asal Kamed Rabbi Chiya, he went to Rabbi Chiya, Amalei Zil Shalom La Tavin V'Tekilin. Give back exactly the amount of coins, the exact weight of coins. So if you view gold as currency, that makes a lot of sense. Eliyamr pira haviavale sub sub aser. But if you hold that gold is pira, that it's peros, that it's metaltlin, then it should be aser, that sub is sub, that's ribis. So it says more rav dinari avale, vikimid avale dinari, nasa komila, halveni at sheyavo bini o at sheyem tsa mafteach. He already had gold coins in his possession at the time that he borrowed it. He just didn't have access to them. When you already have the item that you're going to pay back, then it's fine. Then you're allowed to do sub is sub. Amarava, hai tana sabradava tivahavi. We have another tana that holds that gold is considered the currency. Detanya. Pruta shamru echem mishwana bisri italki. A pruta, whenever we talk about a shavar pruta, it's 1/8 of an isri italki. Lamainaf kamina, why do I need to know the exact value of a pruta? Likidusha isha. Because you need something that's worth a pruta to be mkadish nisha. Isr, how much is an isr worth? Echem yasr mabah bedinar shal kesef. 1/24 of a dinar kesef. Lamainaf kamina. So I can know in business dealing, someone says he's going to give me an iser, how much it's going to be worth. Dinar shel kesef echad me'asur mechamisha bedinar shel zahav. A dinar shel kesef is 1/25 of a dinar of zahav. L'may nafkamina l'pidyon ben. I have to know how much silver to give for pidyon ben. So yam pishlam ativa havi mishar tana b'midi dekit. If you say that gold is the standard, it's the currency, so then I understand why silver is measured against gold and not measured independently. Eli yamet pira havi. But if gold is just a thing that you buy with money, Mishar Tana Pimidi Daokir Fazil, the Tana is going to define the value of silver based on something that can go up and down, based on something that fluctuates, not based on a set currency. So it says Mar Zimnin de Mahadalekana, Zimnin de Mosavle, Iu Lakana, Elishmamina, Matveya Havishmamina. After all, sometimes you're gonna give too much to the coin, too little to the coin if we're evaluating it incorrectly. So no, must be that we're viewing gold as the standard, we're viewing gold as the currency, and that's why we can evaluate silver based on its relationship to gold. Okay, we're a little bit behind, but Beis Hashem will pick up with Tanan Hassam tomorrow.